On the show today, we have ThinkStack's Director of Cybersecurity, Michael Seidelman. He's on the show talking about credit union employee and member cybersecurity awareness training tips and tricks that are going to benefit us all, especially during this holiday season. So Michael's here to tell us all about it, so check it out. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have ThinkStack's very own Michael Seidelman. Michael, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
I'm fantastic, Michael. Thanks for having me. Good to see you as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, likewise, I love having you on the show because every time I have you on the show, it's such an education. And obviously, because you are the director of cybersecurity at ThinkStack, which is pretty much anytime you say cybersecurity, you get people's attention very quickly. So, and you are living this day in and day out. So Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So your job must be an adventure every day. So, I can
imagine.
Every
day is a different challenge, and it's exciting, that's for sure.
No doubt. Well, we're glad to have folks like you out there helping protect us from the bad guys out there. And today we're actually talking about some credit union employee and member cyber awareness training tips that that credit unions can provide their employees and maybe pass it on to members as well, which is another value add that credit unions can provide their members. So today, let's talk about kind of give us a quick overview on this, maybe why this type of training is so important today, and then maybe we'll dive into some tips, and then maybe some how to combat some threats and things like that. So give us a quick overview here, Michael, before we dive into some details.
Thanks, Michael. So the challenge right now, especially this time of year, here we are in December, we're in the Thanksgiving shopping season, Christmas shopping season, and a lot of people are taking vacation, so people are handling jobs that they don't normally do. And I'm sorry, my camera's gone.
I just noticed it just went a little blurry.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. He's back.
Where do you want me to restart?
I can start with a question again. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, here we go. 3, 2, 1. So, hey, Michael, I understand that cybersecurity obviously is top of mind for everybody these days, and especially credit unions or financial institutions in that regard. But can you give us, before we dive into some details, can you give us a quick overview on the importance of this type of training? Because we're going to go over some tips and how to combat some of these threats and things like that. So, but just to start out with, give us a quick foundation here.
Absolutely. So this time of year, right, it's Thanksgiving, Black Friday, shopping, Christmas, everybody's, worried about their budget, their finances, they're looking at their accounts, they're, shopping online, they're getting messages about deliveries. And so we're bombarded by all this information. And especially at this time of year, we typically see a 70% uptick in ransomware attacks.
Oh, really?
In November and December compared to January and February. Threat actors know that, hey, this is the time of year. And hey, you're expecting that Amazon package, right? So here's a link to click on to check that package.
Yep.
Or, you made this purchase, right? Click here if you didn't. And these things all happen at this time of year. And it's important as we, as credit unions and their members are out there either shopping or taking time off, users may be filling in for a role that they don't normally do because somebody took vacation time and they're spending time. So we're bombarded by all this extra work, and we're just trying to get through those emails or those text messages and clicking things that we shouldn't be clicking. it happens.
Guilty of that.
That's absolutely why it's important, especially at this time of year.
Yeah. And I got one that brings up the thing. I got one the other day about my Amazon account. Speaking of Amazon, and I got a text saying your Amazon account is going to be closed if you don't go in and update all your account information. Click on this link and update all your account information. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
And I immediately, my antenna, my radar went up and went, I don't think so. Click and just deleted
it's
that thing really quick.
That your antenna went up. And that's probably because at some point somebody made you aware that was a known scam. And that's what's key, right? Awareness, making sure not just our users, but our members as well are well aware of things to expect from either the credit union itself or from us. Hey, we might text you an MFA code, or we might text you something for authentication, but we're never going to text you a link to log into or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? That's, yeah. Those are things that we need to be aware of.
The things that kind of that when you have to like re-implement or retype in your account information, that type of stuff, that's when my radar goes on. It's like, you guys already have that information. So why would I have to retype that stuff in? So anyway, we could go off on a whole tangent on that for sure. So share with me some things that that folks can kind of combat these threats, especially from a credit union perspective, because they are, as you well know, bombarded on a daily, probably hourly by minute basis with, you know, folks trying to break into their credit unions on, from a hacking standpoint. So share with us some ways to combat these threats and maybe some of these things that they can pass on to their members as well.
Sure. So awareness is key, and having a good awareness program for your users, your employees from a credit union perspective, to make sure that they know that these threats exist and that these things are going to be out there. We always talk about people, technology, and processes, right? And we can implement technology, we can use processes with that technology, and ultimately it takes people to either create that technology or be the end user in that aspect.
Yeah.
And we need to focus on that people aspect and make sure that they're aware. Now, from a management perspective, from a business perspective, I understand that, hey, I've hired somebody to do this job, right? And they're expected to do that job. But hey, wait, I need to take time away from them to do this awareness training or the security training. But it could be as simple as a 2-minute, 3-minute video that they watch.
Exactly.
And that's not a whole lot of time in the grand scheme of things, right? Just to make them aware that that's out there. There's products out there like Know Before for phishing awareness, smishing awareness, which is that texting, phishing via text, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of time. And that's something that we need to make sure that management and executives understand that, hey, I'm only asking for a few minutes to make somebody aware. It's not going to take a whole lot of time from their daily routine.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
There's products out there too. We talk about smishing, right? And smishing is where you get a text message that says, hey, your payment of $450 was successful. If you don't recognize this, click this link here. And it might start out with the name of the credit union.
Yeah.
Credit Union X. Hey, your payment of $450 was successful. If you don't recognize this, click here. And it might have a domain name that is maybe one character or a number off of the credit union name in the link. Mm-hmm. That's a domain that's registered. And it mimics the credit union's homepage. And it says, hey, log in here, right? And then you go to that webpage, you go to that link, and then you put in your username. And guess what? The bad actors got your information.
Yep, they got all of it. Oh, gosh, it's so scary.
There's a product out there called... ZeroFox that does a couple things. Number one, it monitors the dark web for credentials, credential harvesting, credentials that are for sale that might match your actual domain name. And they have another service as well that monitors domain registrations. Hmm. And so if a domain is registered that's very close to yours, or it might end in .co instead of .com or .cc instead of .com, it'll alert you. And if that website actually mimics your homepage or whatever, you can issue a takedown request.
Really?
And they'll go through and they'll actually work with the registrar to get that website removed. And that's one of the key products or processes that you can use. And I mentioned credentials because one of the big things that we see recently is something called credential stuffing.
Okay.
And we're humans, right? We like a password and we don't like to remember 10 million passwords. We like to remember one. So my Twitter account password and my LinkedIn password and my Facebook or Meta password and my credit union password, they're all the same.
Oh, right? Boy.
So all it takes is one exposure of that credential, maybe your email address and a password that goes with that from any of those sites. And I bring that up because just recently it was announced that Twitter, 7 million user credentials were exposed. 5.4 million active and another million and a half inactive were exposed recently and available on the dark web. So what bad actors are doing is they're taking that information, that username and password, they're stuffing it into things like credit union websites or banking websites or social media to take over accounts, anything that they can do. Because look, it's almost Christmas time, right? I need money. How do I get money? Well, let's do it the easy way and steal it, right? So that's what they're doing. And this is a perfect example. And we need to make sure that that we're protecting against that.
Yeah.
How do we do that, right? If somebody's using my username and password, and let's say I did use the same password across several different platforms, we need to make sure that MFA, multi-factor authentication, is enabled, right? So that's using products like Microsoft Authenticator to give you a code, right? It's what you know, what you have. And so you have this application that gives you a code, right? Well, then you can leverage something in MFA called number matching. And Microsoft's actually making this mandatory, I think, in the end of February next year, where you get a, hey, okay, we see you, but put this number in, right?
Okay.
83, and you put 83 in, right? So it's an additional step. One thing that we found recently that we've seen recently in the wild has been CEO impersonation fraud.
Interesting.
Right? Hey, that text message from your CEO that says, hey, you've got a second? Sure, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in a meeting and I can't get to my email and I need $100 in gift cards
from
XYZ, right? Can you get that for me? Sure, I'll get right on that. No, is it really your CEO? How do you know? Or you get an email from them saying, hey, or from a vendor, right? A known trusted vendor that says, hey, we've changed our payment address. Our new banking information is XYZ, right? But it comes from a trusted person at a trusted vendor.
Yeah.
But what happened was a bad actor hacked their account, got access to their account, and watched their email long enough to figure out that, hey, this is the payment person over here, and I need to send them new banking information so that they can reroute money to my account instead of the actual vendor's account. Mm-hmm. And the vendor might not know that their account's been compromised.
Right?
That happens. So with that, going back real quick to that Microsoft Authenticator, another cool feature that we've seen from that authentication piece has been something called geolocation. And what that is in the MFA process, it pops up a little map that says, so right now I'm in Tampa, Florida. And let's say I log in. We all get MFA requests. We're suffering from MFA fatigue. Right? we're getting MFA for everything. Why? Because the security people tell us we need to do MFA for everything, right? It's protection. So we're getting a lot more of these. Well, all of a sudden I get an MFA request. Yeah. And I click it. Well, what if that says, hey, it's coming from Chicago? Well, wait, I'm not in Chicago. I'm in Tampa. Wait, that's not me.
Right.
Hey, who's trying to log in as me? Right. And that's the key that, hey, somebody's got my credentials and they're trying to log in as me. I need to change my passwords. I need to go do some action over here to protect myself.
Yeah.
So
good move.
My goodness, those are a lot of different things. Stronger passwords, right? There's certainly been some changes to the password guidance from NIST recently, or not so recently in the past few years. But still, the longer of a password that you can use, making sure that you're using letters, numbers, uppercase, lowercase, special characters.
Yeah.
Use as long of a password as you can. I saw a graphic not too long ago that showed, hey, if you just use 8 numbers, it's crackable almost immediately.
What?
Just numbers, right? Throw in, because think of it, you know, if you use just 8, that's 10 possible characters in 8 different places.
I see that.
A computer can whip through that in no time, right?
Yeah.
Literally, no time. But if you mix in letters and numbers, and let's say you make it 16 characters instead, it might take 80 years to crack that password.
Wow.
At today's current compute power, right? So,
okay, there's incentive right there.
Yeah, definitely. But how as a human am I going to remember that 26?
I know. How am I going to remember the alphabet, you know?
Yeah. And, oh, I just told you to use a different password for every different social media site and everything, right? Password managers. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of free password managers out there. You can leverage your passwords in the cloud. We leverage a great product called LastPass. Cloud-based, you can put your passwords, save your passwords in there. And that way you can keep a very strong, create a random password if you want, and make it so that it is strong. And that's not for just credit union users, but also for the members.
Okay. I'm writing that one down. So I'm going to check that one out right after the, after our interview, because unfortunately we all still have to use passwords. I can't wait till the day that we don't have to use passwords, and you're probably in the same boat. So dealing with this on a daily basis, but yeah, so, you know, right now we're kind of stuck with it. So things like that are a huge help to us. And any new strategies for passwords is always welcome, for sure. So thank you for that.
We're actually experimenting or testing out right now a hardware key so that it's something that you keep with you, just like the keys to your car, right?
Right, right.
And that's been really an interesting process, going back towards that zero trust architecture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is, you know, literally a key that I plug in, that if I don't have it, I don't have my credentials. That's pretty amazing stuff.
Oh my gosh, Michael. Yeah, this stuff, I mean, obviously it's the challenge, and you know this again as well as anybody, it's staying one foot ahead of those bad actors who are getting more and more creative each and every day. And so you, the good guys in this case, you guys are having to stay, you know, be just as creative, if not more creative, in staying ahead of those folks who are, you know, getting more, again, more sophisticated as the days go on. So yeah, this stuff is gold to provide folks out there. So yeah, anything else here to add, Michael? I mean, I know we could go on for another hour or so, because I know this is your life, and it's scary exciting. If
absolutely.
You get that, absolutely. For sure. It's very exciting to do it, but scary at the same time. So yeah.
Things to keep us awake at night.
Yeah, no doubt. Sure. No doubt.
Just awareness, staying up to date as much as possible.
Yeah.
CISA, CISA is a U.S. government-based organization that is for critical infrastructure. Financial industries are certainly part of that. And staying up to date, their website's great. Of course, the NCUA is always sending out alerts or notices. We're members of InfraGuard as well, which is a FBI-based organization that works with commercial organizations to keep us abreast of what's going on in the security world. Yeah. We watch threat feeds every single day. There's always something coming out. We're keeping up to date as much as possible. It's difficult to do that and as a credit union do your daily work as well.
Exactly.
But that's what we're here for, and that's what we help provide.
Well, I said this a lot on this show, but every time I meet somebody in high school, I said, hey, you know what, if you want job security and a well-paying job, go into cybersecurity, because this stuff isn't going away anytime soon, and these people are in such demand right now. So yeah, so go into cybersecurity if you're in high school or in college right now looking for a major. Definitely. This is the way to go, for sure. So yeah, and Michael, you're living proof that it's a very exciting, very adventurous job, but it's a little scary at the same time. But we're happy to have folks like you at ThinkStack helping protect us. I'm of the mind that you can never have too much of this stuff out there. So we always appreciate all the work that you guys do there. So appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
Anything else to add, anything else to add, sir?
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it as always.
Anytime, sir. Yeah. And we'll put the link for ThinkStack in there. And you guys have such a great blog with all these resources and tips and tricks and things like that. I mean, we just scratched the surface here, obviously, but so we'll put that link in the show notes for you guys out there. And look forward to the next one. All right, Michael, keep up the good work. Great. There. All righty.
Thanks very much, Michael. Appreciate it.